Today's a great day where different events come together, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, and sometimes that challenges us to see them through the lens of a bigger picture than just it's all about me, or it's just all about Our Lady of Fatima Parish, or even it's just about us as American Catholics, but to open our eyes to a vision for the entire world as God sees his entire creation. It's the 27th Sunday as we count ordinary time. It's October 4th, the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, most popular saint probably in history. And in the gospel for today, Matthew chapter 21, as we continue to see Jesus critiquing the chief priests and the elders of the people for their poor, selfish leadership. The parable of the tenants is a strong, harsh critique, and you just heard Deacon Scott reading very violent words. The vineyard is seen as the collective. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel, so it is all of God's people. And the owner of the vineyard is God, but he leases it out to tenants who are corrupt and in it for themselves. So these violent words are, when the workers came, they seized them, beat them, killed them, and stoned them to death. So it challenges us to get out of an individualistic moral mindset and see that God does intend to love and care for all his people. And we have a responsibility in that vision of God. St. Francis of Assisi is nicknamed Il Poverello in Italian, the little poor one. As we remember his story and that he died in 1226, we still put our statues in his statues in our gardens and have our pets blessed on or around his feast day as we did yesterday. But Francis is more than a birdbath. Just like Jesus, he challenged people to change, to care for all of creation, and to treat all people with dignity and respect, even embracing a leper who was a person cast out of that society because they were unclean and contagious. They had no cures in the day. There's also an episode in the life of St. Francis that shows his openness of heart, which knew no bounds and transcended differences of origin, nationality, color, or ethnicity. And it was his visit during the Crusades to Sultan Malik el-Kamil in Egypt. And it demonstrated the breadth and grandeur of his love, which sought to embrace everyone. We are impressed that some 800 years ago, Francis urged that all forms of hostility or conflict be avoided, and that a humble and fraternal dying to self be shown to those who did not share his own faith. Yesterday, on the day of his actual death, October 3rd, the only pope who has ever taken the name Francis in church history left the confines of the Vatican for the first time since March, when he was first in lockdown with the shadowing of COVID-19. But he did not go far. He went just a couple of hours from Rome to the little town of Assisi, where he celebrated Mass on the saint's tomb and signed a new encyclical or official teaching of the church entitled, again in Italian, Fratelli Tutti, brothers and sisters all, more of an inclusive brothers and sisters. In the spirit of Jesus in the gospel, in the spirit of St. Francis of Assisi from the 13th century, Pope Francis challenges all of us to have hope in these difficult times, and to have a vision for the world which is for the entire planet. Since it just came out, and it's a bit long, I haven't read it all, but I have read a few excerpts which I'd like to share with you. He wrote about a throwaway world where parts of the human family, it appears, can be readily sacrificed for the sake of others, considered worthy of a carefree existence. Ultimately, persons are no longer seen as a paramount value to be cared for and respected, especially when they are poor and disabled, when they are not yet useful, like the unborn, or no longer needed, like the elderly. We have grown indifferent to all kinds of wastefulness, starting with the waste of food, which is a deplorable in the extreme. Do you recall back in March, at the end of the month, when Pope Francis prayed for the church and the world in an empty St. Peter's Square on a rainy Friday afternoon? It was powerful and deeply moving. And he refers to that and says, though all too quickly we forget lessons of history, the teacher of life. And once this health crisis passes, our worst response would be to plunge even more deeply into feverish consumerism and new forms of egotistic self-preservation. God willing, after all this, we will think no longer in terms of them and those, but only all of us. If only this may prove not to be just another tragedy of history from which we learn nothing. If only this immense sorrow may not prove useless, but enable us to take a step forward towards a new style of life. If only we might rediscover once for all that we need one another, and that in this way our human family can experience a rebirth with all its faces, all its hands, and all its voices beyond the walls that we have erected. So just as Jesus in the gospel today addressed the violence of the tenants in his parable, so Pope Francis addresses the shameless aggression of people who choose a form of constant communication that encourages hostility, insults, abuse, defamation, and verbal violence destructive of others. And this with a lack of restraint that could not exist in physical contact without tearing us all apart. And he says that it has found unparalleled room in social media. In today's world, the sense of belonging to a single human family is fading, and the dream of working together for justice and peace seems an outdated utopia. What reigns instead is a cool, comfortable, and globalized indifference born of deep disillusionment, concealed behind a deceptive illusion, thinking that we are all powerful while failing to realize that we are all in the same boat. To get out of that, we have to get rid of cynicism. We are tempted to go down a road of depression and disappointment and disenchantment. But isolation and withdrawal into one's own interests are never the way to restore and hope and bring about renewal. Rather, we must come close to one another. We must have a culture of encounter, not of clashing. As I preached last week when I said, when people complain and challenge me, I have learned not to get all defensive, but to be open to what can change and to better serve. This grows the virtue of humility within me. And I've come over the years of my priesthood to coin a phrase that I always remember, which is called the Franciscan principle. And it comes from his famous prayer and song. Help me, Lord, not so much to be understood as to understand. So put into practice, I seek first to listen, to understand the heart of the other. And then, and this is what Pope Francis is teaching us in Fratelli Tutti, then listen, pray, dialogue about differences, and then I can speak my response. So it is a challenging time that we live in, but as people who are Christians, people who love God, as Francis did, so we can always have hope and see God in the midst of everything. I end with one of the two prayers that Pope Francis wrote in the encyclical. Let us pray. O God, Trinity of love, from the profound communion of your divine life, pour out upon us a torrent of fraternal love. Grant us the love reflected in the actions of Jesus, in his family of Nazareth, and in the early Christian community. Grant that we Christians may live in the gospel, discovering Christ in each human being, recognizing him crucified and the sufferings of the abandoned and forgotten of our world, and risen in each sister or brother who makes a new start. Come, Holy Spirit, show us your beauty reflected in all the peoples of the earth so that we may discover anew that all are important and all are necessary, different faces of the one humanity that God so loves. Amen.